So once again, I would like to welcome you all. And actually, it's very joy for me to be with you and to share some teachings, because the Buddha's teaching is the source of all the happiness and benefits. And we as a human being in our life, there are many different requirements. But the most important is the spiritual guidance or the support which will give us the strength and in carrying on the life. And so this how we could achieve is because actually the world where we live has many different kind of people, many different cultures, many different ideas and so on. But the one thing that is common, not only human beings but all living beings, is that no one wants suffering. And everyone wishes to accomplish the happiness. And so for this happiness, we do all the bad things also. The people do bad things because they were hoping that through this they can find some kind of happiness. And also people do good things also to find the happiness. And so the real happiness, we could not find any other ways, although now we are in the 21st century and that we are in terms of the technology and science, tremendous progress has been made. And in these progresses, of course, helped us in many ways to, for example, in the medical fields, the many of the diseases that could not be cured now can be cured very easily. The places we can't travel a long time ago, now we can travel very easily. And so on. But at the same time, just these outer material progress alone, you could not find the real happiness. Because the real happiness is not on the physical level, the real happiness is in the mental level. So unless until we change our mind, as long as our mind is controlled by the negative emotions, then we could not find the real, true happiness. So for this, we need the spiritual guidance and spiritual help. And I myself believe that there are many different religions in the world, and every religion has its own beauty and its own way to help the mankind. The Buddha himself also, Buddha did not teach one kind of teachings. The Buddha actually, although there we have a certain numbers such as like 84,000, is not the actual number of the teachings that Buddha gave. It is only the amount that some of the Buddha's disciples have received that much teachings. So actual amount that the Buddhas give has no limit, because the sole purpose of giving the Buddha giving teaching is to help the sentient beings, and so the sentient beings is a limitless, so that the teaching is also limitless. And so the limitless teachings, there are many different kinds. As you all know, that we have Theravada, Mahayana, and many different, and each different also has different schools, many different schools. So this shows that one kind of teaching is not enough. Like deities also, we have many different deities, the peaceful deities, wrathful deities, deities with many surrounding deities, deities with the many faces and arms, and deities that are very simplified form, etc. This is all not because they themselves have like this, but this is to help the sentient beings, because sentient beings, that our mind is such that some are peaceful, some are wrathful, some are semi-wrathful, and some are very elaborate form, very some are very simplified form, etc. So therefore, different traditions, spiritual traditions, is necessary to suit the beings. And so therefore, it is very important to have many variety of spiritual practices, and that we must respect all different traditions, and we must also exchange the ideas and techniques. And so the thing is that one could not find the real happiness until we make our own mind. And nobody wants sufferings. Nobody wanted to do bad things. Everyone actually wishes to be happy and to be successful at the worldly level as well as in the spiritual level, because if you are not successful in the spiritual level, then the continuity of the happiness is not arising. The worldly level success and happiness is only for temporary level, because the Buddha said all compound things are impermanent, which means that anything that is created with the cause and conditions is impermanent, because it needs to depend on the cause, needs to depend on the conditions. So if anything is missing, if one condition is missing, then it will not happen. And so all this is impermanent. And the impermanent are with the four endings. The four endings means like end of gathering is separation. Wherever we gather, of course, we at the end, we all go into different directions. We all separate. Even in a family, which we normally think as a kind of permanent, all families are, we think that we live together for the whole life. But that is also, of course, temporary, because after a while, the older ones pass away, and one pass, the next pass, and then someone goes there, goes there, and eventually it's all, although in this life, that family means the father, mother, children are all together. But this is only a temporary, because one day the one leaves, another one leaves, and at the end, it all goes different. Will not be together. In the next life, this family will not be together. It will be another family. be together. So the end of the gathering is separation. And the end of accumulation is exhaustion. People collect things, collect wealth, collect powers, collect land, collect possessions, but it does not remain all the time. After a while, even in the history, you know, you have the large, great empires that almost own the whole world at a time. But it does not remain there all the time. After a while, it reduces and becomes smaller and smaller and becomes very small. So the end of accumulation is exhaustion. And then the end of height is to fall, because when you reach the very high power, a very high, very successful life, very famous, you reach on the height. But then again, it does not remain there forever. One day, the very famous people become infamous, very famous become not known, very powerful people also becomes very weak. Very rich people also becomes very poor and so on. So in this way, that it's the end of height is to fall down. And then the end of birth is death. Anyone who has taken, who is born in this world, ends with the death. So the minute that we are born, every single moment that we spend that is nearer to death. So there's not a single being who was born but who did not die. Everyone has to die one day, sooner or later. There's not even the slightest doubt about it. So the end of birth is a death. So in this way, everything is changing, everything is changing. So therefore, while we are alive, we have to be mindful. Mindful is actually very important, because many of the times that we are carried out through our emotions, And then we make decisions. For example, when you get angry, when you get very angry, then you certainly that you make a very drastic decisions, which are very harmful. And most of the decisions that you made while you are getting angry are wrong. So therefore, you know, one have to be very mindful. Mindful is something very important. But then after a while, when you cool down and when you think, oh, then that is wrong. I must do like this. I must not do like this. So therefore, the mindful is, even at a worldly level, if you are carried out with your emotions, and then you make the decisions, is mostly wrong. So therefore, to be mindful is very important. And so to be mindful, how to be mindful? You see, mind is actually very, very powerful. Everything is mind. It is the mind that creates, especially our human mind is very complex and also very powerful. No animal can do like humans can do. The human mind is very, very powerful. It can do wondrous things. It can do very good things. It will benefit many beings. And also it can do very terrible things, very much worse things than the animals can do. For example, the animals that are we consider dangerous, poisonous snakes or very ferocious animals, they harm beings. But how much they can harm? One or two persons, at a time, they can harm. But we humans can, especially nowadays, you know, we make such a weapons that can kill thousands of people in a single moment. So therefore, the mind, our human mind, is much very, very powerful. So therefore, we as now as a human being, we have to think it very carefully. And to make this life purposeful. Purposeful means oneself happy and also benefit others. Then our life is purposeful. Whatever your religious beliefs, whatever your own ideas, but that is the purpose. Purpose of our life is to be happy, to make this life happy, and also to help other beings, because all are same. In the Buddhist teachings, it says that all, because we believe in the rebirth, when we pass, when we die, our present physical body will be disposed in one way or the other, but the mind, consciousness, could not be disposed. It could not disappear. It could not be cremated. It could not be buried. It could not be washed. It has, because it's invisible. Mind is invisible. Mind, you can't say this is the mind. You can't describe our mind, the size, the shape, the color, and the place. Where is the mind? You can't pinpoint. Yet, of course, mind is very powerful. It is the mind that does everything. Everything is done by the mind. If there's no mind, then it's a dead body that could not do anything. Because of the mind, body with the mind, then mind does everything. And so this mind, human mind, is very, very powerful and very... So therefore, we have to... So this mind will not disappear because it's already invisible. So something that is invisible, something that is not solid, something that we can't, it could not be just disappear. So it continues. So therefore, in the Buddhist teachings say that all sentient beings are one's own mother and father and relatives and so on. But even in a worldly level, not from the Buddhist teaching point of view, but in ordinary level also, we can't survive ourselves alone. When we were born, if the parents did not take care, the baby which was just born could not look after. It could not take care of oneself. So it was the parents that who take care, did not let you die, and look after you very carefully, giving you all the necessary things, food, the warmth, love, and then you grow. And then as the children also, you can't survive just alone. You need the helpers, the companions, friends, and teachers. So through that, then you grow up, and you become educated. And then as an adult also, that we need as an adult could not survive ourselves alone. We need somebody to talk to, somebody to share our happiness and our sorrows, our problems. And so with that, and also, especially when you grow older, of course you need to depend more on the health of the others. So therefore, since the entire our, not only from the religious point of view, teaching point of view of saying that all sentient beings are mother, but even at the worldly level, that we have to, our entire life has been brought up and grown with the help of the others. So something that our entire our life depends on others, that it is wrong just to think of oneself alone, one's own benefit, one's own welfare. In general, also, people think, people who are very selfish, who only self-centered and who only thinks about self, nobody appreciates. But the people who take things about others, people who care about others, people who have the love and the compassion to others, they can win the hearts of the millions. And so therefore, of course, caring for others, making for others to happy, to benefit, is very helpful. So the purposeful life means oneself happy, and also, and you can't find your happiness just for being selfish, because the great Indian master, Shanti Deva. Shanti Deva is a very famous Buddhist scholar, and he said that all the sufferings that exist in this universe comes from selfish, wanting oneself to be happy. If you wish to be happy for yourself alone, that you cannot get. That all you get is more suffering. Because when you self-centered, when you think about oneself, then you it rises the desire, anger, jealousy, pride, stinginess, etc. All the negative emotions. And when you have these negative emotions, then you are not happy. So therefore, it's a wrong. If one wishes to be happy, then you have to think of the others. And he also said that all the happiness that exists in this universe rises from wanting other people happy. If you wish to everyone, all sentient beings, is of course, from the teachings point of view, is a very vast, but from your own family, or from your own neighborhood, from your own surroundings, that if you wish them to be happy, make the efforts to everyone to be happy, then you can find one's own happiness. And so therefore, all this is possible only when your mind is, one is mindful, which means that one have to think whatever decisions that we make or whatever actions that we take, one should not do it in hastity. One should have to think very carefully what is the benefit and what is the consequences that for yourself, for the long run, and then, only then, the decisions you make will be the right decisions. Even if one is not successful, the decision you made is not right, but one, at least you don't have the regret of taking in a hasty, you know, that you thought, you carefully thought, and then you have taken the such a decision. And so therefore, of course, it's very mindful, remembrance and mindful is very important. In the teachings it says, in the very first thing, when you receive teachings, it is said that one have to be free from the faults of three containers. And the first fault is that if the container is upside down, then whatever you pour, nothing goes in. So similarly, many people receive teachings, but they've not been mindful, they're not remembering, so that nothing remains in their mind. Even though you spend many hours, but nothing goes into your mind, so you do not remember anything. So they're mindful, even though it is a short teaching, but if you remember, if you could remember, then it's good. So therefore, the first fault is the fault of container that is upside down. And the second fault is that also remembrance is very important, because even though the container is upwards, but if it has holes, then whatever you pour in, it comes out. So even though you listen and you observe, but without remembrance, that everything that goes out. So by the time you leave the teaching place, that you don't remember anything, so that even though it went through your mind, but it goes from the, you listen from one side, one ear, and it goes from another ear, and so that you could not remember anything. So this is the second fault. And then the third fault is that the container is upwards, and it has no holes, but if it contains dirty things, like pride and desire, for example, some people receive teachings just to gain knowledge, so that to become famous, so that by receiving this teaching that I will make money, that I will collect followers, I will become famous, I will become a big positions, etc. So this is a greed. The motivation is greed. And so therefore, teaching is actually to calm down, to pacify our negative emotions. But instead, it becomes the tools to activate the negative emotions. So that is very wrong. And then also some people receive teachings so that I can become very learned and I can criticize people, I defeat with the debate and the people who are opposing you, etc. So this is also kind of based on the anger. So the motivation is based on the negative emotions such as the desire, anger. Then, even though you receive teaching, you will receive precious teachings, but it is just like taking the wrong medicines. We take medicines to cure our disease, but when we take wrong medicines, instead of curing the disease, it causes more sufferings. So likewise, that if you take the teachings in the wrong motivation, then instead of helping, because we receive teachings, we practice Dharma to pacify our negative emotions so that we will have a happy life in ourselves and also to benefit others. But instead that it causes your own also the sufferings and also causes suffering for the others. So these are in the very beginning of the teachings that tells you about these faults. And so the one of the faults is not remembering and not mindful and also to remembrance is very important, because most of the wrongdoings, most of the mistakes that we make are not being mindful and not being remembrance. And so therefore we make many wrong decisions and many mistakes. So that it's very important to cultivate the mindful and not being carried out with the negative emotions, strong emotions like anger or desire or pride or jealousy, etc. And then it is very, the decisions we make are very wrong. So therefore, it's always to think about the mindful and remembrance. Because with that, then one can improve your spiritual path by being mindful and by remembrance. And then also, to practice the spiritual path, the very base for the spiritual path is to be a good discipline. Good discipline or good moral conduct is the foundation of all the qualities. For example, if one wishes to make a big building, then you need a strong foundation. If you don't have the strong foundation, then you try to build the big buildings, then it will collapse. Similarly, without the foundation, then you try to practice, especially the high practices, then it will it not be stable, and it will not grow. So to be stable, your spiritual practice, and also to grow, that we need the foundations, strong foundations. Foundation is to be a good discipline. Discipline has basically it is a two parts. First part is to abstain from the wrongdoings. If you do wrong things, then it is not right. So you one have to abstain from the wrongdoings. Nobody wants to do the wrong things. Nobody wants to do the things that can cause suffering, things that can cause problems, because we all don't want suffering. Whether you are a believer or non-believer, or whatever kind of beliefs you have, nobody wants suffering. We all doing either spiritual or worldly activities to eliminate sufferings and to accomplish the happiness. And so therefore, for example, just as an example, many people smoke and drink, and they are very harmful. Each packet is written, actually it's harmful, it's injurious to health, but people still do. Because that we are used to, when you are so used to it, you can't, even though you knew it is harmful, it will cause problems, but they could not help because they are so used to it. So similarly, that we are also so used with the defilements. In the teaching said that the mind has no beginning as such. There's no time as such as like beginning of this person's mind. There's no such time as like beginning of this. Mind is all the time, from beginningless time, it is one of the wonders, is there's no beginning. So from the beginningless time until now, that we've been associated with the defilements. And so therefore, of course, even though we knew that it's harmful, when you get angry, it's not happy. When you get angry, persons becomes the face becomes dark, and your pulse rate goes up, your blood pressure goes up, and you lose your appetite, you lose your sleep, and it's physically also very harmful. And mind, of course, one feels very unhappy. So that nobody wants to do. But when you carry on, when you have such a anger, then you can't help. You have to burst. You have to do things. This is because not being able to mindful. If one's mindful, he thinks carefully that it is harmful, it is wrong, it is a mistake, then one will, even though it could not stop right away, at least it will kind of reduce its strength. And first of all, it is important to realize that it is a wrong. So the Buddha's teachings, it is said that has three qualities. It is virtuous in the beginning, and it is virtuous in the meantime, and it is virtuous at the end. It is virtuous in the beginning means that when you hear the teachings tells us what is wrong and what is the right. So to get angry, to get jealousy is wrong. And many people do not even realize this, that to get angry is also kind of part of life, and this is to carry out. But when the teachings tells us, then you realize, because these are wrong. And so even though you can't control, you realize that it is wrong to get angry, to have the jealousy, to have the pride. So virtues in the beginning, that by hearing that you realize what is the wrong and what is the right. And then in the meantime that it is a virtuous, because then what you hear, you contemplate, you analyze, you carry on in your own everyday life. And then you realize, and you manage, even though you can't eliminate totally, but you can suppress, you cannot rise your anger so much that it suppress, it becomes inactive. So therefore, it is a virtuous in the meantime. Then at the end, also it is a virtuous, because now until you eliminate the negative emotions, one could not really find the real peace. So only way to eliminate the defilements or the negative emotions is through the meditation. So what you study, what you contemplate, and what you analyze, then you meditate. And through the meditation, then you can eliminate the entire defilements. And so therefore at the end, it is a virtuous. And so with this, so it's very precious. The teachings are very precious, because it is not saying something, the teachings are very holy, the Buddha is very holy. But just by saying that Buddha is very holy, you cannot really establish that Buddha is holy. We can't really say that Buddha teachings are very precious, teachings are very holy, just by saying that we can't establish that it is really holy. But when you practice yourself, and then you experience that you gain. So from your own experience, then you can establish that the teachings are very holy, and the teaching is very effective, and that it is holy because it gives you, it can eliminate your defilement, it can give you the eternal peace. And then we can establish the such teacher who teaches such teaching is also great, because without being a great, you cannot give such wondrous teachings. And so therefore, the So with this, you see, the basically the good moral conduct means to abstain from the wrongdoings. Because there are many wrong things that we do in our everyday life because we've been associated with the defilements from the beginning last time. So it is so easy to rise the pride, jealousy, the desire, anger, etc. And it's very difficult for us to actually have a real love and compassion. And tolerance, etc. But if one tries, because anything can become easier if one tries. One may not succeed in the first time, then second time, third time, as you try more and more, and then it eventually be able to practice well. So basically, it means. Good moral conduct means like abstaining from wrongdoings, such as like the 10 non-virtuous deeds. Like 10 non-virtuous deeds means like the wrongdoings, like abstain from killing, etc. And then on top of that, another aspect is not only that one should not harm or one should abstain from the wrongdoings, but also you do the benefit, you help the beings, you benefit the beings. So the good moral conduct, basically the precept, in the Bodhisattva's precept, there are three precepts. The precept of abstaining from the non-virtuous deeds is to abstain from the wrongdoings, and then the precept of collecting the virtues means doing good things, good love, the opposite of love, opposite of the non-virtuous deeds. Instead of killing, then to abstain from killing. So it's other way around. So the one is like from the negative way, one is like positive way. And then on third precept is the precept of benefiting sentient beings. Not only abstain the wrongdoing and do the right things, but also to help other living beings. Just as from our own experience, how much one is longing to be free from suffering, and how much longing to be to accomplish the happiness ourselves. Every living being, every sentient being also has the same feelings. So therefore, it is just wrong to think of oneself alone, one's own welfare alone. We have to think about the limitless beings. In number-wise also, when we think of self, self means just one person. But when we think of, when we say the others, means limitless beings. So the one and limitless, which one is more important? It's always, of course, the limitless beings is much more important. So therefore, we must try to do whatever one can to help us, to help the other sentient beings. Even if it is a very tiny insect, that we must try to save the lives, because the life is precious. Just as our life is precious to ourselves, similarly, even the tiny insects also, the life is precious to itself. So therefore, and all this is possible if one is being mindful. If one is not mindful, then we do many wrong things, we say many wrong things, and even in casually, although we really don't mean, we really have the real intention of doing wrong things, but casually we make many heavy negative karmas. Just by saying things, saying very cruel words, and very hatred words, that can cause a lot of pains, even though the word has words are not like a weapon, but it can cut the person's heart. Even though we casually also make many mistakes, all of this is because one is not mindful. And then also sometimes intentionally also we do many wrong things. Unintentionally also we do many wrong things. This is all because of not being mindful. So the mindful is very important. And base for the Dharma is to be a good discipline. And good discipline is benefit to oneself. By keeping the good moral conduct, the benefit is for oneself. But due to our negative emotions that we carried out, and we destroy the cause of our own benefit and the cause of our own happiness. And so if one is mindful, then we've been able to control and then eventually be successful in carrying out so the base for practicing the Dharma is good discipline, and it is just like the foundations, and also it is the base for to increase your qualities and also to maintain your qualities. It all depends on the good discipline. Good moral conduct is very important. And this good moral conduct is only be one can practice successfully if one is mindful. And then whatever spiritual practices that we do, whether it becomes the real path or not, depends on the one's motivations. So the motivation had to be very pure. As I said, most as ordinary people, there are actually countless beings who do not care about spiritual path. And there are also many people who care about spiritual path, but as a being ordinary person, even though we practice spiritual path and we have the intention of practicing the spiritual path, but the most practices that we do becomes what we call the indifferent. Indifferent, and sometimes even becomes non-virtuous. Even though we practice, as I said in the beginning, that people receive teachings just to gain the worldly names, worldly wealth, etc. So in this way, it becomes harmful. But even if one has some kind of good intentions, but most of the time, practices we do become indifferent. Which means not virtuous, no non-virtuous, it's just like mundane life, such as like eating, sleeping, working, etc., which are as part of our life. So it also becomes like ordinary activities. So to make a very spiritual path, spiritual path, real spiritual path, it requires two things: renunciation and loving kindness and compassion. Renunciation means the samsara, the entire samsara. Samsara means the whole universe, whole existence, circle of existence is not worthy of any attachment, because samsara is divided into two, the lower realms and the higher realms. Lower realms, we all understand, the lower realms have nothing but very, very severe sufferings. In the higher realms, we think it's like a mixture of sufferings and pleasure or happiness. But if we carefully think, there's not a real happiness, because even the happiness that we experience is only when you compare to the sufferings, it appears like a happiness. But otherwise, it is not a real happiness. It depends on the conditions. It's a relative. It depends on that. To compare with the suffering, it appears like a happiness, but it is not a real happiness, because it depends on the causes and conditions. And so, therefore, it will not last. And so it is the suffering of change. It is another form of suffering. And then the suffering of conditional nature, which means that our very existence, or our very being born here is a suffering, in a way that wherever we go, whatever we do, to whomever that you associate, there's no satisfaction. Wherever we do, whatever you do, I mean, for example, in the poor countries, there's a lot of physical suffering. Hunger and thirst and cold and so on. Then more advanced countries, we don't have so much physical suffering as such, but you have much mental sufferings. So in this way, that it's all our suffering. Besides, nobody lives forever. In the samsara, anyone, as I said in the beginning, that anyone who is born have to end with a death. So no matter how successful, how happy life, how successful life that you have, it's not forever. It's only within the longest time, is within a period of about 100 years. And very rarely people live up to 100 years. So then after that period, we have to leave this world. So when we leave this world, no matter how successful you are, how rich you are, how powerful you are, how many family members and friends you have, how many supporters you have, it has no use. The day we leave from this world, it has no use. So therefore, the entire samsara is not worthy of any attachment. So to seek entire samsara, to renounce entire samsara, to see the entire samsara as poisonous, and it's not worth attachment. And so when you see the entire samsara as not worthy of attachment, and to renounce totally from the samsara, you need the wisdom. Because the cause of being caught up in the samsara is being a self-clinging. we cling ourselves without any kind of logical reasons that we cling ourselves. And when you cling ourselves, then you have automatically self and others. And when you have the self and others, then it arises the desire and anger and jealousy and so on. And so when you have these negative emotions, then it causes all the sufferings. And so now the cause, the main cause to be caught up in the samsara is self-clinging. So to renounce samsara totally, you need the wisdom. Wisdom that cuts not only the suppress the self-clinging, but to dig out the root of the samsara, which is self-clinging. We need the wisdom that realizes the selflessness. And so with that, such wisdom, which is the direct antidote of the self-clinging. And so with the wisdom of selflessness, the wisdom of selflessness investigates where is the self. You can't find the self. We all have the long time habitual tendency of self-clinging. But if you try to find out where is self, you cannot find anywhere. And so with such wisdom that you cut the root of the samsara. And so therefore the renunciation is very important. And then oneself now to renounce and to reach nirvana is not right. We have to think of all the other sentient beings who are also part of your life, part of your family. And so therefore we have to think of them. So they need to be saved from the suffering. So the wish to save from the suffering is called the compassion. And wish them to place to the path of happiness is called the loving kindness. So with these two, loving kindness and the compassion, it's very important to rise the enlightenment mind, because without the two, loving kindness and the compassion, then it will not rise. So it is said that generally all the Buddha's teaching are the root lies in the compassion. And especially in the Mahayana teachings, because when we say Mahayana means big, white. Why it is white? Because it is not just for one's own sake, but it's sake of all the other sentient beings, the limitless sentient beings. And so to have that, you need the compassion. If you don't have the compassion, you will not work for the others. Because of the compassion that we all have a certain amount of compassion. Even you have not at all following a spiritual path, when you see some animals or human beings who are in big pain, big suffering, we feel pity, we feel sorry, we wanted to help. So there's such a compassion that we all have some kind of root or the seed, which is very important. And but just this is not enough. We need the universal compassion, universal love. That means to all sentient beings, because the little compassion that we have now is based on the selfish reasons. So the genuine compassion is to all sentient beings, irrespective of whether it is one's friends or enemy or known or unknown, to all living beings are same. So therefore such a compassion, with these two loving kindness and compassion, then arises what is known as the enlightenment mind. Enlightenment mind means due to the loving kindness and compassion that you wish to, the only way after arising the compassion and the loving kindness, the only way to effectively to help the sentient being is to attain the enlightenment. Because we as an ordinary person, we can't help. Even though we have the feeling, we have the pity, we have the compassion, wanted to save, but we can't because we are limited. Our knowledge is limited, our wisdom is limited, power is limited, so therefore we can't help. We ourselves also in the samsara, wherever the winds of karma blows, one have to be there, so therefore we can't help. So the only way effectively to save the sentient being is to attain the enlightenment. So wishing to attain the enlightenment for the sake of all sentient beings is called the enlightenment mind. So the renunciation thought and the enlightenment mind are the two motivating factors, the motivations that to determine to make your path a genuine path. Path towards the enlightenment is the two things. So therefore, every practice we do, we must have the renunciation thought and enlightenment mind. And with these two as a motivation, then whatever practice we do, whatever little practice we do, it will become the direct course to attain the enlightenment. And all this is also possible and be able to carry on successfully if one is mindful and remembers. You remember the instructions, the teachings we receive, the benefits we gain, the consequences that we have to face, we have to remember. And then after remembering, to mindful whatever deeds that we commit, whatever actions we take, whatever practice we do, one have to be very mindful that we do the right thing. We don't want to do the wrong thing. We wanted to do the right thing. And so by doing this, then one will be able to successfully carry out the path. So therefore, whenever those who wish to follow the Buddhist path, it is very important to do the foundations. I'm not talking about the uncommon foundations, but the common foundations, like these things, like the renunciation thought and the loving kindness and compassion. Not so much like reciting prayers or reciting and trying to reach the numbers, but instead that you, in your daily life, everyday life, when you are dealing with the people, when you are in a busy life, when you are in the big cities, we have to think about this. The life is like this. Life is impermanent. Life is suffering. What is the whether it is the worth to have the attachment to the samsara, and how it's going to be affect? What is the consequences that we have to face if we have attachment? What are the benefits that we gain if we give up the attachment? And so, if we think all the time, then one can gain like insight understanding. So with that, then one can be rise the proper renunciation thought and the enlightenment mind, and through which then one can establish the right path which will then progressively carry on and eventually to attain the enlightenment for the sake of all sentient beings. So with this now I conclude and wish you all the best.